We're going to go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. What makes you happy? You don't have to answer me out loud. Just think about it. What makes you happy? It might be a tall cup of coffee in the morning. It might be a latte. It might be a mocha. It might be a movie. It might just be being alone and having time by yourself. What is it that makes you happy that just seems to always fleet away? This always seems to flee away. It just doesn't remain very long. That's what I want to talk to us about this morning is having real happiness. There's lots of things that bring us happiness. I know the birth of a child brings a happiness to a couple. And seeing your children grow up and just being a part of their life brings happiness. Becoming a papa makes you happy, right? Becoming grandparents because you can spoil them and send them home with their parents, right? And they have to deal with the sugar high and all of that, right? And you just kind of sit back. I mean, my wife and I, we're not real mean, but we do kind of laugh sometimes when we see Joey giving his parents, some problems. You're just, we remember those days, and now you're kind of getting what, you dished out to your parents. So, I'm sure Crystal was just an angel, wasn't she? Nathan was, all kids are angels, right? But behind closed doors, we know otherwise, right? But anyway, happiness, all right? What is it that brings you happiness? I'm going to share with us this morning where true happiness is found. And I want to look at Psalm chapter 1, and I want you to read verses 1 through 6, but then we'll focus on verses 1 through 3. But Psalms chapter 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Father, we do thank you this morning just for your goodness towards us. We do thank you, Father, that you've shown where true happiness can be found. And we thank you, Father, it's found in a person. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank you, Father, for the happiness that you do bring in our life through our family and through friends and through other acquaintances and, Father, even through recreation, things that you allow us, Lord, to be a part of in our life. But, Lord, the main focus, though, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one that brings that happiness that never fades. He brings that joy within a soul that can never be robbed and never stolen. It can never be taken away. So, Father, thank you for the joy that comes through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But, Father, as we go through the scriptures this morning, I pray that you guide our hearts. I pray that you would establish our thoughts. Help us, Lord, to really be drawn to you this morning, to really think about the things that you're speaking to our hearts about. Lord, I have my notes, but I pray that you would guide and direct because we need to hear from heaven. Lord, we don't need man's philosophy and man's idea. We need God's word, and I pray that you would guide us through these scriptures this morning, helping us to see where true happiness lies and help us to take hold upon it and to allow it to be a part of our life on a minute-by-minute basis. And we thank you for it. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, happiness. What is it that brings you happiness? I love being outdoors. I love going camping. I'm happy to go camping and just sit by the fire and do nothing, right? I just love doing that. The other kids are, "Come on, Dad, let's go walking. Let's go, let's just sit here," right? Because all week you're doing something. I just want to spend some time just sitting, just staring at the fire and thanking the Lord that I won't have to spend eternity in the flames. I'll be in heaven in the mansion that's been prepared for you and for me and everybody who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But happiness, having real happiness that never fades away. Because whatever it is that brings you happiness, you have to constantly do it again. You have to constantly, whether it's, again, coffee, you got to drink again. Whether it's going somewhere, you got to keep going there and keep reminiscing about it and hoping one day you can get back there. But the happiness I want to talk to us about today is really joy. It's joy in the Lord. It's joy in your soul that's always there because it's based upon a person, not some fleeting thoughts, not some fleeting recreation or some drink or whatever it is that brings you happiness. But I want you to focus this morning because there's a lot of people that are unhappy in the world. And a lot of people are getting the wrong counsel in the world. Because a lot of people are unhappy with who they are. And they're being counseled to change their gender. They're being counseled to take some pill, to smoke something, to drink something. Some are even being counseled, just take your own life and end it and it's over and that's it. But man, when you read the Bible, you understand who the Creator is. You understand the giver of life. You understand that death is not the end of it. But there is a happiness that satisfies the soul because everybody has a void on the inside that only Jesus Christ can fill. And it's a void that's filled by Christ with his gift of salvation and his relationship that keeps on giving. It is a gift that strengthens us when we face difficulties. It's a gift that will strengthen us when we're at our wits' end. Have you ever been at the end of your rope and didn't know what to do? And you've always been told, tie a knot and just hang on for dear life. Well, I heard one time, don't do that, let go of it. And trust Christ to lift you up. Because the Bible says that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift us up in due time. So this morning, based on these verses 1 through 3, I do want to talk about happiness. Because happiness, true happiness, is a gift of God's grace. It's a gift of God's grace. Notice the first four words of verse number 1. Blessed is the man. Do you feel blessed this morning? Some days you may not feel blessed because of what's going on, what you're facing, what you have to do, where you have to go. I never feel blessed when I have to go to the doctor. I feel like it's a curse, especially if it's going to the dentist and having to lay back in the dentist chair and let them take that drill, right, and hit up against all your teeth. That's not a blessing. It's a blessing when I get out of there, right? But God's grace is one of the greatest blessings you and I can have in our life. The Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. People are looking for pleasure. They're looking for joy. They're looking for happiness, but they're looking in all the wrong places and in all the wrong things. The Bible tells us in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Do you have Christ in your life this morning? Then you have the fullness of the Lord in your life. Sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't hear his voice because we haven't done what he asked us to do. We haven't spent quality time with him. We're putting other things before our relationship with the Lord. And I've learned over the years, the only way I'm going to have a good relationship with my wife and children is to have a great relationship with the Lord, because it's God in me working through me to help me to love the way people need to be loved, right? Sacrificially and unconditionally. But it is his grace. We find true happiness in the grace of God, and it starts at salvation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 1 through 4 is the gospel. And his grace saves us. On your worst day, if you can't think of anything to be happy and joyous about, reflect back on your salvation. Reflect back on the day that you asked Christ to come into your life. And you might, you know, and again, you have an enemy, you have an adversary that always wants to point out the fact, but he didn't take all the problems away. No, he took the greatest problem away, and that was my separation from a loving Heavenly Father and joined me in a family that can never be taken away. He gave me the gift of salvation through Christ. Sure, we have problems in life, but now I have someone who walks with me through this life to help me to overcome the storms of life, helps me to have the right motives, the right answer to the problems I face, and to do it with joy. Now, have I always entered into trials with joy and, oh, goody, there's another day to just rejoice in my trial? Absolutely not. But I have the Lord with me who reminds me in that moment, I brought you to it, I'll bring you through it. I'm reminded, I'm often like Peter. Peter, who would often stick his foot in his mouth when speaking to the Lord, and, you know, he would say things, you know, without really thinking. There was this one time where they were in the ship with Jesus. Remember this? And Jesus is asleep because it's been a long day. He's been serving people, healing people. He just had his disciples feed 5,000 men with a few loaves of bread and some fish. And at first, you know, they were like, you know, what is this among so many? And Jesus said, you know, well, divide it up among the people. And as they did, the Bible records that they fed 5,000 men plus women and children. That's kind of hard to believe. That's where faith comes in. And, well, if God can create the worlds and God can create life, well, surely he can feed 5,000 men with just a little boy's lunch, as we like to call it. But they did that. And then Jesus said, go gather up the fragments. And they gathered up 12 baskets full. When they fed 4,000, it was 7 baskets. And Jesus is saying, I can provide for them, I can provide for you. And they saw the miracle. But then they get into a ship and they go across the Sea of Galilee and a storm starts to rage. And this storm, I mean, these are fishermen, Peter, James, John, these are experienced fishermen. They made their living on the Sea of Galilee. They've been in storms before, but this one was unlike any other storm. They just could not get that boat back to shore. They were stuck in the storm. I mean, they just exerted all their energy while Jesus was asleep, the Bible records. And when they were done, because they were not happy campers, maybe I should say they weren't happy boaters, because the storm just was still raging, they finally, the Bible says, they turned to Jesus and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Bible records that Jesus stood up, said, O ye of little faith, and said, peace be still. Just a few simple words, peace be still. And that storm ceased. And the Bible records the water became as glass, not even a ripple. And Peter falls down at his feet. I mean, they worship him because they really, how is it that he has power over nature, over the winds and the waves? They obey him because he's God. He's the creator. But there's so many things that want to rob us of joy and happiness in our life. Whether it's vehicle problems, whether it's family issues, whether it's the death of a loved one, there's things that happen in our life that the adversary wants to rob you of the joy of the Lord. But if you have Christ in your life, he's with you everywhere you go, and we have to choose not to be like the disciples and say, Master, carest thou not? Yes, he cares. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He'll give rest unto your soul because there's an inner joy that we all need in our life. The Bible says in Luke chapter, or I had you turn to 1 Corinthians, look at verses 1 through 4 in chapter 15. Bob says, moreover, brethren, says Paul speaking to the believers at Corinth, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Believing in vain is believing that, well, if I'm saved and God is my heavenly Father, Jesus is my Savior, I shouldn't have any more problems in life. That's just not reality. And that's where a lot of people get themselves in trouble, thinking, well, I asked Jesus in my life and I shouldn't have any more problems. And then the first problem, okay, maybe this is just a coincidence. You know, God just overlooked me today and tomorrow will be better. And as problems continue to come in their life, they get upset at God and they say, well, I tried God, I tried church, I tried the Bible. It didn't take away the problems. God didn't promise to take away problems. He promised to walk with us through those problems. That's why David in Psalm 23, he's able to say, I'll fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. Because the rod and the staff, it's what the shepherd uses to protect the sheep, to help the sheep, to lead the sheep. Jesus is our joy. And if you have Christ in your life, you've got the fullness of the joy. And if you know that you have the gift of salvation, again, that's the greatest joy. Because he goes on to say, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Right? According to the scriptures. I didn't see Jesus die on the cross of Calvary, but I believe he did because I read it in scripture. The Bible says that he did and says that a man had to die for the sins of the world. And that man could only be the Son of God, sinless, no sin whatsoever, coursing through his veins, tempted at all points like as we are. I'm glad that he understands how I feel. I'm glad he understands when I have a bad day and I feel exhausted physically, mentally. He understands all that, but he didn't give in to those things. I always remind myself, because sometimes people like to say, well, of course Jesus didn't sin, he's God. He didn't have a bad day because he's God. I mean, everything was perfect. Oh, no, because in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He's asking the Heavenly Father, if there's another way than what I'm about to experience, can we do that? Because he knows in the body, in the flesh, what he's about to experience. He understands the beating he's about to endure. He understands the crucifixion. And that's weighing heavy upon him. But he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I promise if we submit more to God's will in our life, we will find more happiness and joy. Because it'll be the Lord's strength that helps us. Remember, because even Paul, a great man of prayer, he prayed for that thorn in the flesh. He prayed for whatever that was tormenting him. He calls it the messenger of Satan to come and buffet him. But he asked the Lord three times to remove it. Have you ever begged God to change some circumstance in your life and really believing God would do it? And then when it didn't, you were kind of tempted to be mad at God and say, well, God, Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock, and it would be done. And that's what I did. But God knows best. And the Lord knew that Jesus needed to be crucified because he was the Lamb of God. Because John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God which take away the sin of the world. He was the one to die for the sins of the world because I can't die for my sins. I can't do enough good deeds to please God. Say, okay, well, you know, you've done more good than bad, so I'll let you into heaven. No, it just doesn't work that way. But again, where's your joy this morning? Where is our joy? Where does it lie in? And if you have the grace of God in your life because of Christ and because of the gifts of salvation, that is something you can always count on. You're facing a doctor who's telling you you've got cancer. You can rest in the Lord. You can rest in the Lord and let your thoughts be directed by him. Let your meditation be on his promises. I mean, when we had to watch our son, Dylan, go through cancer treatment for 3 years, he taught all of us, his family members, and the nurses and doctors what true joy was. Because though he was being pumped full of poison, yet he always had a smile on his face. Lost all his hair and everything and, you know, just for lack of a better term, ballooned up. I mean, he just always had joy in his eyes and a smile on his face. And it's like, man, if that young man can go through that, certainly I don't have a reason to complain about anything. And sometimes God does that in our life to strengthen our faith and to help someone else's faith be strengthened. Because the Bible does say, be ready to give an answer to those that ask of the reason of the hope that lies within you. There has to be something different with God's people. People have to see, yes, going through a trial, but they see something in our face that's completely different. They see someone who has complete peace, someone who has joy, and that joy comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think about the fact that, yes, His grace saves us. His grace strengthens us. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, then He said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you find joy in the Lord? In the one person who never changes. People change all the time. Ever had someone promise you something, and then when it was time for them to deliver, they changed their mind and said, well, I can't. Or they said they'd be there for you, and then they weren't there for you. Call me anytime you want to talk, and you call, and they don't answer the phone. Or they block your number. I mean, just people that just don't, they're not always faithful. They're always changing. We have a God in heaven who never changes, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You and I can rejoice in the fact that we have a God in heaven that I know without a shadow of doubt when I stand before Him, He's not going to say, you know what, Troy, I changed my mind, I changed the plan of salvation just before you got up to my throne, so I can't let you into heaven. I'm not worried about that because He can't change. He's not a man that He should lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if He never changes, guess what? His love never changes. His resources never change. His strength is just as strong today as it was back when He was working through Nehemiah, helping Nehemiah to rebuild the walls, because Nehemiah found his strength in the joy of the Lord because God called him to do that. Is there something that God has asked you to do that maybe you're a little timid by, or you're a little afraid, you're quite hesitant, you're not sure if God will help you do that? Because one of the things that we struggle with is loving people and forgiving someone who's done us wrong. And God promises to give the strength to be able to love somebody through Christ and to give forgiveness where we think, you know what, forgiveness is, it's not worthy. They've done me so much wrong, there's no way I'm going to forgive them, but we're the ones being robbed of the joy of the Lord. Because let's not forget, the person who does us wrong, they don't care. But when we keep reliving what they did or what they said, we're allowing them to continue to rob us of the joy and the happiness that God wants us to have. Because our focus needs to be on the Lord. His grace strengthens us. James chapter 5, verse 10, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I'll go into detail again. Job is a man that suffered a lot in one day and even suffered the criticism of his friends. So much so, it got him to the point of complaining about his own life and even the day he was born. But the Lord blessed him at the end of his trial. The Lord talked with him. The Lord rebuked him, encouraged him, strengthened him, and blessed him at the end of his trial. God always has thoughts of peace towards you, not of evil, that He may bring you to an expected end. There's something God wants to do in each of our lives, but He always has to show us where our struggles are. Because when you look at the life of Job at the beginning, God says of Job that he was an upright man who eschewed evil. He loved God. He feared God. But God knew deep down inside his heart there was something not quite right, and God wanted to bring that out. Because God's always wanting to work on our faith and on our relationship with Him, and He knows exactly how to bring that out. You know who else knows how to bring things out of us? The devil, our adversary. He knows those buttons to push that'll cause us to get upset, cause us to get mad, cause us to say something to somebody, And he just loves pushing those buttons. But God does it because he wants to help us get victory over it. He doesn't want anger to be what drives us and motivates us in life. He wants the love of Christ. He wants us to be constrained by the love of Christ. He wants the Holy Spirit to be the Spirit that is the one indwelling us fully and the one guiding us through this life, so it brings glory to God and it benefits us in our life. But his grace is what strengthens us. When you look at verse 1 and 2, go back to Psalm. Try to speed up here a little bit, a few more minutes. In Psalm chapter 1, and you look at the second part of verse 1 going into verse number 2. Again, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." The first thing I want you to think about is our happiness is a gift of God's grace, because God's the one that gave us the gift of salvation. He said that he begun a good work in us, and he will continue to do that good work until we see the Lord face to face. But happiness, though, it is a decision on our part. Are we going to decide to be happy in the Lord? Are we going to decide to have the fullness of the Lord and his joy be our strength? Well, if we are, then we have to decide against worldly directions. Worldly directions. Again, the world always leads people down the wrong road. Again, young people are facing an epidemic in our country right now. And that epidemic is transgenderism. Oh, you're not happy? You need to change your gender. That'll make you happy. But it doesn't make anybody happy. Nobody's happy changing who they are. The only way that you and I can, and the young people, anyone can truly be happy is to be changed by the power of Christ. Because just changing the outside doesn't bring happiness and joy to the inside. That's only through the power of Jesus Christ. Again, that's why it's so important that we're ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within us, because there is somebody watching you. They know that you're a Christian. They know that you go to church. They know that you believe the Bible, and they're looking for answers in their life, but they don't quite want to come and ask you yet. They're watching you to see if your faith and your relationship is genuine and you believe what the Bible says, because then they can come and ask you, you know what? I need help. I'm always reminded of Paul and Silas sitting in the Philippian jail at midnight after being beaten and thrown in prison for no crime they committed. But the Philippian jailer comes in later and says, "What must I do to be saved?" Because he heard them singing, he heard them praying, he heard this, the joy in their voices. He didn't hear them complaining. He didn't hear them, you know, talking about getting back at those that beat them and locked them up in prison. Everyone's got problems in their life, but you and I have the answer, and that answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Happiness is a decision of the believer, and we have to decide against the worldly direction. Again, you don't find it in anything that's legalized. Doesn't matter that alcohol is legalized. Doesn't matter marijuana is legalized. Doesn't matter what's legalized. True joy comes through the Lord. The world has its way, but God has the ultimate way. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says this, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." He that doeth the will of God abideth forever, because at the end of the world's road and the world's ways is destruction. But at the end of God's way, there's joy. There's eternity. There is a true change in our life. What is it that you struggle with? I know the things that I struggled with in my life over time that God helped me to overcome, and he's given me peace about it. Nobody is exempt from problems, from people that are against you. But how do we respond to the problems of life? How do we respond to those that we would consider enemies? It has to be through Christ. It has to be through his word. Listen, it's not going to get any easier. Life just gets harder and harder. But when you're walking with Christ, there's a peace that passeth all understanding. Why do you do what you do? And you kind of have to think about that. Why do you do what you do? Everything in your life, why do you do it? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Why do you go to church? Why do you love your spouse? Why do you love your children? Why do you go to work? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Is it because you're seeking happiness? Because there's happiness in that? Or you're seeking to serve somebody? You want to be used by God? I mean, why do you do what you do? We have to make a decision in the day and age that we're living in to do everything for God. Because I've learned if I do it for myself, I'm disappointed all the time. Because somebody won't accept it. Somebody won't say thank you. Somebody will just see a reason just to kind of use me to get what they want, and they're never appreciative of it. And it doesn't matter what age you are. I thought when I was a teenager and graduated high school, everything would change. The bullies would go away. Problems would go away. But no, they just change faces. Because there's always something in life that wants to drag you down and rob you of the joy of the Lord. There's just always something. And I've always loved the birth of our children. I mean, just being able to just see the miracle of a child being born and staring into that baby's face. I mean, that has always brought joy, and it still does. Just looking at my children growing up and them being developed into adults and things that God does in their life. Do I agree with everything that they do? No. Because most parents don't agree with everything their kids do. But you still love them because they're your kids. You still want to see them happy. You still want to see them succeed in life. You still want to see them blessed. And you do everything you can to help them along life's journey, whatever age they are, however they'll let you help. That's the way our Heavenly Father is. He's never stopped loving us. He's always wanted to be a part of our life and for us to have the joy that passeth all understanding. I mean, he wants us to have that life. But many times we've allowed life to rob us of that. We've allowed bad decisions to rob us of the joy of the Lord. And we keep reliving those bad decisions. Instead of doing like Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto that prize, right? The prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Very quickly, look at Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 24. Because there does need to be a decision on our part on a daily basis to reject the ways of the world, to reject the philosophies of the world, and to decide for the truth of God, for the truth of his word. God has never led anybody astray. God's never led anybody astray. God's always looking to show himself great and mighty in the lives of his people if we will let him. Jeremiah says, call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And one of the greatest things that a person is seeking after is joy and happiness. One that is always there, one that doesn't disappoint, one that is, as the Holy Spirit, it's a well of spring inside of you bubbling up. It's always there. We can quench it, you know, by not listening to the Lord and not trusting the Lord and relying upon the Lord, but the happiness and the joy is there because the Holy Spirit of God is in your life. But in Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what kind of day I've had. You don't know what kind of week I've had. No, I don't know what kind of week or day that you've had, but I know what kind of week and day I've had. Because it seems like I work FedEx a couple of days during the week, and it seems like Saturday, if I plan anything on Saturday, I never get out of there on time. It just seems like it's a bad day, and I'm there for a couple of extra hours, and it's like, sometimes I feel like that just ruined my day because I was planning on this, but now I got to push it back, right? But when the focus is, you know what? This is the day God's given me. Whatever happens, He already knows what's going to happen. He already knows, so I can just rely upon Him, rest in Him, trust Him, follow Him, and let my joy be placed in the Lord and not in circumstances or getting out of work at a certain time that I'm expecting. And the Bible says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Back in Psalm chapter 1, we're told to delight in the Word of God. Told to delight in the Word of God. The Bible says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Because God's Word reminds us of His faithfulness. God's Word reminds us of His trustworthiness. God's Word reminds us of His grace and His love and His forgiveness. Somebody once said, if the world is our main object of rejoicing, we can't rejoice always since there's so much evil and suffering, and how true that is. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. How true it is. When you go to the Bible and you start reading it and God speaks to you through His word, He gives you a verse that kind of jumps out at you and it grabs your attention and it encourages your heart. Only God can do that. And Jeremiah says that when he found the word of God, it rejoiced his heart. And our hearts are rejoiced by the truth that God gives us from His Word. Jesus said in John 13, 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. There's happiness and joy in doing the things that God calls us to do. Proverbs 29, 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But we also have to decide to meditate on God's Word, delight in His Word, and meditate upon it. Think about what God is saying to you. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, God doesn't promise financial success, though sometimes He does bless His children financially. He doesn't always promise physical health success, but He does cure people. Again, my son had leukemia, went through chemo for 3 years, and God cured him of it. God took care of him, and God used him in a very great way. And I know for a fact that he meditated upon God's word. It's what kept his focus right. It's what kept his focus right, that whatever was going to happen, he knew that he was in the great physician's hands. He knew that God was in control. Whatever God was going to allow, it was God's perfect will for his life. And he had plans of getting married, but he had to wait until he went through the chemo, and God brought him through the chemo, and he got married a year ago. I mean, they're about to sell it. Actually, almost 2 years ago, isn't it, Sandra? Almost 2 years ago. And if the Lord wills, they'll be able to have children at some point. But I'm saying that it is God's word that helps us to face the trials, the difficulties, the decisions of life, just even going through the day and ending the day. It is what God's given us to spiritually help us to have the right frame of mind, to have the right heart, the right attitude, the right outlook on things, because the Bible says that we spiritually grow through the word. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God says that we are spiritually planted by the rivers of water. His word is like rivers of water. We get our nourishment, we get our encouragement, we get our resources spiritually from his word. But the Holy Spirit in Scripture is also pictured as water. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 4:14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." It's a resource that never runs dry. It's a resource that can never be taken away. It's a resource that God has given through his Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to give us that joy because the Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, and all the other things the Holy Spirit helps us in our life. But the Holy Spirit is that springing well. It's that well inside of us. It springs up into everlasting life. And God wants us to be filled with that. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of Jesus Christ." What happens when we think about something that bothers us? When you sit there and you replay something over and over and over and over in your mind, you just think about it over and over, and it's, you know, it was some devastation, it was somebody said something didn't go the way you wanted it to go, and you just think about that over and over and over again. There was a time in my life in my younger years, I was a manager for a medical supply company, working 15-hour days, 6 days a week, and I was responsible for everything. I mean, if work didn't get done, I would have to stay late, 3 a.m, and if it still wasn't done, go home, eat, get maybe an hour or two of sleep, go back, and I never could get work off my mind. It was always on my mind to where I didn't even really sleep. I would lay down and I'd be thinking about things that didn't get done, things that have to get done, and I just was robbing myself of the joy of the family. First couple of years of my oldest son, I wasn't there mentally because I'm always thinking about work and was always at work and just totally missed out on some things. Totally wreaked havoc on the body. But when I came to a place in my life that I realized that Christ actually wants to carry my burdens. He actually wants to be the source of my peace. I finally came to a place where I realized, you know what? Work isn't worth losing sleep and losing precious time with the family. I got to a point where when I walked out those doors from that company, everything was left in that building, mentally for that job. Therefore, when I got home, it was all about the wife, the kids, and having family time and having fun with them and not wasting time the way I had been. The Lord is the one that really wants to bless your life and my life. He's the one that really wants us to experience true happiness and true joy that can never be taken away. And that is through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through yielding to the Holy Spirit of God in your life. It is allowing the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. Again, people are unhappy with life. They're trying to change the outside, and they're still miserable because the inside needs to be changed. And only the Holy Spirit of God can do that, can change the heart and change the emotions and change the person's thinking and help them to have the right perspective of life, help them to have the right outlook on life, looking through life through the biblical lens of God's word. Again, where is your happiness this morning? What is it that you base as the resource for your joy that seems to always be fleeting and you've always got to be working at it and running after it when it should be the Holy Spirit? It should be the Lord Jesus Christ in your life.